If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we ended up in verse 7 last week. And we'll pick it up in verse 7 and continue on to verse 12 tonight. Verse 7, we've been talking about the Antichrist because Paul has been sharing with the church of the Thessalonians concerning this need that a lot of people thought that those that had died were not going to be able to be with the Lord at the rapture of the church. And many of them thought that they were living already in the tribulation period. And so Paul wrote that letter to kind of share with them that the great tribulation had not even started yet. There were some things to precede those things before the Antichrist would come. And in verse 7 he said, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work." Now, it's been 1900 years that Paul says that the mystery of lawlessness already has been at work. John the Beloved in chapter 4, in 1 John chapter 4, in verses 1 through 6, he lets us know that the Antichrist spirit already was working at the time when John was alive, almost 2,000 years ago. So we know that the Antichrist spirit and lawlessness already has been working and is continuing to work today. And surely we see it in the nature of sinful men. And yet we really haven't seen the worst yet that is coming in the last 7 years of world history, which we call the tribulation period, or the last 7 years of tribulation, or Jacob's trouble, or the 70th week of Daniel. And what's interesting here is that John or Paul says that this lawlessness is already at work, but only he, in your Bible's capital H-E, he says only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Now, do you realize that even though things are bad, they're not as bad as they should be because of the Holy Spirit within the church? You and I are keeping back the real wickedness that is coming into the world, you know, in the future. And to me, that's, you know, kind of a thing where people say, well, what do you mean? I mean, lawlessness and all these things are going to happen. Well, if we read the book of Revelation correctly in chapter 6 through 19, it's going to be horrible. Horrible. I don't even understand how people will be able to live. You know, right now with this hurricane in New Orleans, just one city, you know, there was totally destroyed, devastated, which will take months and years if they can rebuild it. Can you imagine, you know, that just came over in a couple of days. Imagine every single day for 7 years, something horrible coming on the earth. And that's why it says that unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be able to survive it. Out of the 5 billion people on the earth today, there will be only 1 billion left when Christ returns to the earth. Hundreds, millions, billions will die in the tribulation period. In 1 hour. Millions. And so I thank God for the Holy Spirit that is here today, residing over the church of Jesus Christ, and that is over every believer that has received Jesus Christ as his or her personal Lord and Savior. And Paul is declaring here that the work already of lawlessness is at work, but only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. What is he saying? The Holy Spirit within the church is going to be taken out. See, right now evil can be restrained. But when the Holy Spirit being in the church today, can you imagine when we are taken to heaven, there is going to be no restraint. The Antichrist will come. The false prophet will come. Satan will be their promoter. And there will be people in your family, in my family, we hope not, but we have to be realistic. And there will be friends of yours and mine, they will be here to face all these things. You see, right now, for the last 1900 years, God has been given not only opportunity after opportunity for people to come to know Christ. That's why in the book of Revelation, chapter 3:20, he says, "Behold, I sit at the door and knock, and if any man open the door to their hearts, I'll come in and sup with you, and you with me." And then in the book of 2 Peter, he says that God is not willing, in chapter 3, verse 9, that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's the heart of God. And yet, men's hearts have become so hard, so calloused. You look at some of our Christian children and parents, those that are backslidden today. Why did they backslide? Why didn't they stay in the church? Why didn't they stay walking in the love of God? Because the world is so attractive. You know, it's like a, you know, when you go up to the high Sierras and you see these massive rivers, and you see them rushing so rapidly in the rapids, and as those rapids are bouncing around, there are little pools that can actually suck you down when you fall into that water, and it can hold you under and drown you. And that's the way the world is. You have to watch all those little pools in the world today that can suck you in and suck you under, and they can actually kill you. Sometimes I'm so grieved when I see people that used to come to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, or other Calvaries that I've spoken at, or even here at Calvary Chapel, West Covina, and then here in Diamond Bar. And to see them 10, 15, 20 years later, and to see their appearance, to see their lives totally in shambles, destroyed, they don't look good, because the world really got a hold of them, and Satan lied to them and destroyed them and their families. And I think of the accountability and responsibility that every parent and every father and mother and every child have if you are a Christian home. Too much is given, much more is required, the Bible says. And that's why the love of God is so important. It's important for you mothers and fathers to make sure that you're not playing the hypocrite in your home, but that you really are being a witness to your children. Because if you don't, you know, one day they're going to rise up and they're going to walk out of that house and they're going to leave the Lord because they said, "We didn't see the example." I've talked to many young people like that. "My parents went to church, but you know, when they came to the house, they didn't live like Christ." It's so sad. There's no consistency. There's no steady on course. There's a lot of manipulation going on in the homes. A lot of lying. A lot of deception. And when Satan sees a home that is deceptive, and is not walking in the fear of God, and not walking in the love of God, and not walking, you know, in the fear of God, then Satan can get a hold of that home and get along with those people, and he can begin to sue them and to actually move them out in deception and lead them out of the way from the truth of Jesus Christ. And it can destroy your whole life. I think of how many fathers and mothers have left their home for somebody else and left their children because of the lust of adultery. Sad, but it happens. And when a father gets up and goes to work and begins to play around at the work, you know, and with a young lady, and you can manipulate, you can have all kinds of excuses. Say, "Well, my wife doesn't love me and she doesn't want to sleep with me," and all that. You can do whatever you want. You're the head of the home. You're going to have to answer to God one day. You're going to have to stand before God. And God's going to judge you because you know what? God gave you an opportunity to be the head of your home. And then you went to work and you played around. And then you ended up leaving your wife and leaving your children for this other woman. And then you got married to this other woman and you're not happy today. And maybe you even went to another woman. And it happens with women too. and there's chaos. And what we don't realize is there's a law of sowing and reaping in the world. You're going to reap to your sin, no matter what you say. God said it. God will do it. He will fulfill it. That's why it's really important to stay close to the heart of God. Because you see, we are without excuse, every one of us, including myself today. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit here today. And Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit would come, He would lead us into all truth. He would convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You see, too much is given, much more is required. The light is on. The light is turned on. Everything will be revealed. You may hide it, but God will expose it. That's why it's really important to be honest and truthful with God and your family. Because what happens is you can lie about it and you can manipulate people through it, but God knows the real heart of your life. He knows what you really meant by it. He knows what you did. Those intentions, those actions, God keeps record of those things. Especially if there's no true repentance. You're still flirting. You're still playing the little game. You're still lying and cheating. You're still going out, you know, in private drinking and fornicating and committing adultery or, you know, taking drugs or whatever it may be. They'll catch up with you. You can play a small time, and then it will catch up with you, and it will destroy you. And like God says in the scripture, He says, you hit it, but I'll go on top of the rooftops, and I'll shout it from the rooftops, and everybody will know about it. And then when everybody finds out, guess what? It's not just you. Your family gets hurt, and your friends, and everybody that hears it. Like domino effect, all the way down. That's why I thank God what He says here, that hey, as long as the Holy Spirit is here, we're okay. But when He's taken out, all hell was going to break loose. So we thank God for the Holy Spirit in our lives and even what He's doing here tonight. But then at the same time, I think of all those people that sat where you're sitting tonight over the years. Where are they tonight? How deep have they been sucked into the world? Some even already have died. And the saddest thing to do a funeral is to know that someone has died OD'd on drugs or alcohol or was living with a woman or committed adultery or fornication and they died in that sin. And yet Paul is very clear what he says in the book of Galatians and Ephesians and in James. He says that anybody living a life of sin, speaking of Christians, will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care what you say. I take heed to the word of God. I believe God's word. And the saddest thing is going to be for people that thought they were going to be in the kingdom of light, but they'll end up in hell. And they said where you sit. And they heard what you hear. But they didn't take heed. They didn't listen. And the Holy Spirit the whole time was speaking and talking to them and saying, repent. Stop what you're doing. You see, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to us like that and we feel bad about what we're doing, then we're still okay. But the time comes when the Holy Spirit has spoken so many times that the Holy Spirit has become grieved. And you'll see in a moment. And eventually the Holy Spirit will do what? Will not speak any longer. You're on your own. You've crossed the line. And when that happens, you'll never be here again. You'll never ever go to another church. That's what we call the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Because there's no more conviction. You can do whatever you want and not even feel bad about it. That's why Jesus said to the Pharisees, all manner of sin is forgiven unto men except the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit speaking, knocking, putting up things, barriers before you to stop you, but you don't listen. Just keep moving them out of the way. There is a time, there is a place where God will say, no more. It's over. Going somewhere else to work. It happened to Israel. It will happen to us if we're not careful as individuals. The Holy Spirit is a person, and He gets grieved when we live a life of sin, especially when we know what's right and then what's wrong, and yet willfully, rebelliously we do it. And that's why Paul was so concerned with these people, because they were saying, look, we feel like we're already in the tribulation period. They told us, and Paul says, no, you haven't seen nothing yet. The Holy Spirit is still here, convicting and working in your lives. We're still here. And then check this out, verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed, when the church and the Holy Spirit within the church is taken out of the way at the rapture of the church. And we're gone. All of your children, all of your parents, all of your grandparents, all of your aunts, uncles, nieces, whoever it is, granddaughters, grandsons, those that did not walk with God, those that did not listen to the Holy Spirit, and they might have been baptized in water, and they could have said in Sunday school, but if they were not living the life that Christ talks about and they have been left behind, hey, you're going to know that you were not taken. You're going to know. Can you imagine what feeling that's going to be for people that know they didn't make it? My parents are gone, but I'm left behind. My husband's gone, but I'm left behind. My wife's gone, but I'm left behind. Imagine the guilt. Imagine the madness that will come over people. And when they turn on their radio or television, or they pick up their Newsweek or newspaper, and they'll say, there's a new man just coming out of the East wherever, and we think that this guy is going to bring peace to the world. You're going to know. Why? Because they sit where you sit. They've heard what you've heard. They were warned, but they didn't listen. They didn't listen. And look what Paul says. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of His mouth and destroy with the brightness of His coming. Notice what he says here. Paul here notes for the third time that the lawless one will be not only revealed when the Holy Spirit or the restrainer is gone, but he's coming not only to destroy him. The Bible says in the book of Revelation 19:20, you can read it, that the Antichrist will be thrown into the lake of fire alive. Alive. With the false prophet. Forever. And then Satan will come later on. And the saddest thing about that is that when the second coming of Jesus Christ comes, that will come at the end of the 7-year period. And by the way, in Matthew chapter 24, let me read it to you. Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31. This is where Christ comes, and he gives us the warning. He says this, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be dark and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the heavens and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. The whole world's going to mourn. Oh shoot, Jesus is coming. What they said is true. And guess what? All these people in the world that are here, the majority, guess what they have? They have the number 666. They know they're dust. They're dust. They can't go nowhere. Jesus is going to judge them immediately. They're going to get thrown out of the earth into darkness. Remember the goats and the sheep in his right hand and in his left hand? He goes on to say, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He will send His angels with a great, great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together from His elect from one end of heaven to the other, north, south, east, and west. What are they going to do? They're going to gather together. Why? Because we're going into the what? Into the day of judgment. Before the 1,000 years begin, there will be a time where Christ will judge the sheep and the goats. Those that will be able and allowed, the last 7 years here, alive on the earth, that didn't take the mark of the beast 666, they will be able to go into the kingdom age for 1,000 years to repopulate the earth. The church will be coming back in the clouds with Christ. We will come back for a 45-day judgment according to Daniel chapter 12. And also, he says in Matthew 25, He will set up His judgment, and those that go into the kingdom age that didn't take the mark of the beast, Jew and Gentile, they will repopulate the earth for 1,000 years. But those that have the mark of the beast will not be allowed to enter in. It's over. They will be judged. The next time they will appear will be at the white throne judgment in Revelations 20, 11 through 15. And what's so sad about that is that even though these guys come into the kingdom age alive, they didn't take the mark of the beast. It's amazing when you read about the 1,000-year period of Christ, when Satan's put in the bottomless pit, and Christ rules and reigns for 1,000 years, that right before He begins the new heavens and the new earth, that Satan is led out one more time, is God wants to test the hearts of men one more time. Not the church. We have our heavenly bodies. Those that have flesh and blood will be tested in the world one more time. And when Satan comes out, it says this, that Satan will take with him almost the whole world. Multitudes will rebel against Christ, even though Christ was ruling and reigning on the earth. They will join Satan, and Christ immediately will destroy them. And then He'll have the white throne judgment and the new heavens and the earth. I don't understand that. How can you rebel once you saw Christ here? That He came back. He was ruling and reigning in Jerusalem. And the church was already here in their glorified bodies. But it just demonstrates the wickedness and the deception of the heart of men. And yet, here Paul is declaring again the destruction of the Antichrist. And then the lawless ones, Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of His mouth and destroy with the brightness of His coming. Remember, as His coming, He will also, what? Will fight at the battle of Armageddon in Revelation 16. As in Revelation 16, it says the nations of the world will be gathered together, China and, the whole world will be there coming against Israel. And as they see Jesus Christ coming from the heavens with a great light, the whole world will know. They try to fight against Christ and Christ wipes them out, and there'll be 180 to 200 miles of men's blood, 5 feet deep. That's what the Bible says. The worst battle in history. Been to that Megiddo so many times, that valley in Israel. And it's hard to picture in your mind standing up in Mount Carmel looking out at the valley of Megiddo to see that that whole valley one day is going to be covered with blood, men's blood. Because they try to fight against Jesus Christ. And yet, Christ has warned us. And then look at the conflict here. Notice the Antichrist power in action here. Notice who gives him his power. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of who? Satan. You see? Satan. With all power, signs, and lying wonders. Notice that here is interesting that Satan will give the power to the Antichrist, the same power that Christ had, except that Satan doesn't have the same power to do miracles and wonders. Why? Because he does all these things in what? In deception. In deception. You see? Because sin can't create life. Only God. You see? But at the same time, to me, it's just amazing that here we notice the satanic power. It's really real, but it's limited at the same time. It's limited by God. Because Satan is the prince and the power of the air. You see? A lot of times people, it cracks me up how people will actually picture Satan with, you know, the horns and the pitchfork and the long tail, and he's smiling, you know? That's not the way he is. Satan, according to Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, it says that Lucifer, son of the morning star, was a beautiful, beautiful cherubim angel of God. Beautiful. He's not ugly. That's why in 2 Corinthians he says that Satan transformed himself into an angel of light. He disguises himself like he's a good angel, but he's a deceiver. You see? We have to be careful. I believe that one of the greatest signs in the last days will be the sign of apostasy, false teachings. False teachings in the churches. People will move away from the knowledge of the truth and they'll begin to believe the lie rather than the truth, and they will have disciples that will believe. The churches will become liberal. We already have churches like that today. They'll accept everything and anybody in their church, and they will not proclaim the gospel of truth because they don't want to offend. You see? We don't want to offend. We don't want to mention the word sin because that offends. I feel sorry for those shepherds, because they're not giving the full counsel. And there's a hot place for shepherds like that. The Bible says that. Because imagine in the tribulation period when the rapture comes and all those shepherds that led their actual people astray and they were left behind with them too. That's going to be heavy. But Jesus has warned us. Paul is warning us even here tonight. Watch this. Verse 10. He says, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why are they perishing? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. There it is. You see, look what Paul is saying here. His influence, or the influence of the Antichrist, is the influence of Satan, is deception, to deceive people. People always ask the question, why would a God of love send people to hell? He doesn't send people to hell. Get that through your minds. Matthew 25, 41. It says that hell was made for the devil and his demons and his angels, not for men. Men will go to hell by his own deception, and that is not believing the gospel of truth, not believing Jesus, not taking him as Lord and Savior. You see? People will not go to hell because of intellectual issues. They will go to hell because it's a moral issue. Morality. Moral issue. Sin is the problem. And yet here, he's talking about those who perish. Those who, notice what he says, because they did not receive the love of the truth that it might be saved. They rejected what? Jesus. They rejected the gospel. They rejected the truth of God. They have their own beliefs. I mean, I sit down with people and I open my Bible and they'll say, well, you know, or without even opening the Bible, I'll say, you know, in the Bible it says, oh, really? I say, show me where. And they go, well, you know, oh, you have a different Bible, you know. No, it's the same Bible. Show me. I'll believe it if you can prove it to me. You see? We need to challenge people, not just believe everything that's gullible. And say, show me in the Bible where it says that. That's why Billy Graham says, always says, the Bible says. Because it's really important that we understand that here the problem is with apostasy, is with deception. They have been brainwashed. They have been deceived by the Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, the Unity Church, the Muslims, you see, the Taoist, the Buddhist. All these people that say there's another road to heaven. No, there's only one way. And it's Jesus' way. No other way. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. No other way. The Bible says that the road to heaven is very narrow and very few people enter into it, into eternal life. But the way to destruction, he says, is very broad, and many, many, many go there. There will be so many people in hell. Because they didn't believe the truth. Think of the millions of people over the years that have already died. They've gone into eternity. And here we are. Many of us here are going to go into eternity one of these days, if the Lord tarries. And that's why you need to understand that you need to know the truth of God. You need to know the Word of God. That's why I get so thankful to God when you're here for studies. You're learning the Bible. We're going book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. So that one day you can actually say, you know what, I've been through the whole Bible. I've studied the whole Bible. I don't know the whole Bible, but I can say like Paul, I have not failed to give to you the full counsel of God. I have read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all the way to Malachi, and from Matthew to Revelations. And that's why we need to read it every day, because it's the actual guide of a roadmap into life. To make sure that we're not taking the wrong turn, or the wrong roads, or the wrong freeways. You see, if you're informed by the Word of God, the Mormons can come to you and they can give you all the stuff they give to you, and you'll say, excuse me, but that's not true. And you say, well, the Book of Mormon, well, I don't accept the Book of Mormons, I'm sorry. But then you tell them, okay, let's go to the Bible. Oh, no, the Book of Mormons. No, let's go to the Bible, because they say they believe in the Bible. You know, when they do their commercials, the Holy Bible. Well, let's go to the Holy Bible. You know, they even call themselves Christians. And that goes over to Jehovah's Witnesses. And that goes to any cult. Now, we don't damn the people. We love the people. Why? They've been deceived. They've been deceived. And I believe that God will give every person an opportunity to believe the truth or to believe the lie. And that's why I love, when they come to my house, they always bring one that's in training. But they always have their backup, you know. Just in case. And I don't tell my pastor anything. I say, oh, really? I act dumb, you know. I start with the new convert, you know, and he's really, you know, giving you the whole line. But then I start asking him biblical questions, you know, and the elder says, excuse me, that's my turn. Let me tell you why, you know. They step in. It's amazing how people lie to people, and yet imagine the leaders of that church or any church that keep those that God has given to them, and they keep them under in deception. Wow. There's a hot place for people like that. Jesus said, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. Anybody's shoes that is deceiving little children. Little children. I was watching, I told you that Discovery Channel, they were showing the Muslims, the radical ones, the bombers, and they're showing all these radical things that they're doing, and as they're doing it, and they volunteer to become strapped with them, you know, with dynamite or whatever, and go blow themselves up, they show these little kids, 2-3 years old, already brainwashing them with guns and the whole thing, and the banners around their forehead, to become martyrs for Islam. How come the old men are not blowing themselves up? How come it's always the young kids? Sad. Deception. Oh no, you know why? Because you're young and 72 virgins are waiting for you in paradise. And the young guys fall for that. Can you imagine that? Sad. What a lie. What a lie. They're being fed. And then there's other religions of the world that are lying to people all the time. You can see how the Antichrist spirit is working in the church and in churches all around the country and around the world. People coming up with all kinds of new doctrines all the time. Paul said in Timothy, to Timothy, he says, Timothy, those are doctrines of devils. Devils are behind those doctrines. And Satan's behind the whole thing. Here he says. Look what he says again. And with all unrighteousness and deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. God gives everybody an opportunity to do what? To be saved. To be saved by faith in Jesus Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is of faith by Christ. And then check this out. The consequences of rejecting the truth. I didn't make the rules. God did. Here's Paul, what he says. And for this reason, God will send them a strong deception that they should believe the lie. Interesting. Underline that. Look what he says. Here Paul says that people perish because they make the choice morally, not intellectually. the sins. Notice the sins that they commit sends them to hell. John 3:19 says that. And here we see that coming to Christ is a moral problem, not an intellectual problem. And when a person denies the truth, God will allow them to be deceived. If you don't want to receive the truth, God says, fine, I'm not going to shove my fist and the gospel down your throat. Go ahead. Don't receive it. You see? That's so beautiful about Christianity. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with God. We don't force people to come to Christ. When people get saved, it's because the Holy Spirit has been operating and dealing and convicting in that person's life, and it's bringing them to repentance, a change of life, a change of heart, regeneration. You see? Regeneration. No one can worship God if they're not regenerated by the Holy Spirit. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless you've been born again of the Holy Spirit anew, the Bible says. In John chapter 3:3-7, he tells you that, speaking to Nicodemus, there's no possible way. And yet Paul here reveals to us that this judgment will be sent by God, and it will be the judgment of deception in the last days. Notice, for this reason, God will send them a strong deception that they should believe the lie. And who's the lie? The Antichrist is the lie. That's why you see in Romans 1:18 through 32, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Here it is. Same thing. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And what does it say if you read on? It says, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things they wanted to do. You want to be homosexual? You're not born homosexual. You want to be a homosexual? Hey, listen, it's against God. Lesbian? Against God. Fornicator? Against God. Adulterer, liar, murderer? Against God. God has set the rules in His Word. God desires holiness. God desires that we love and that we care and that we live by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, not excusing ourselves, but coming to true repentance and admitting what we have done and immediately confessing and repenting if we want to be in fellowship with God. And if not, we break fellowship with God. You see? Paul sets it all up right here. And then check this out. This is incredible. Verse 12. He says in verse 11 again, for this reason God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be, check this out, condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. They love their sin. They'd rather be adulterers, fornicators, liars, whoremongers, murderers, and all other things than to change their hearts and give their hearts to Jesus Christ and say, you know what? I want to be a real Christian. They didn't make it. They'll never make it. Only holiness is in heaven. Holiness before the Lord. Those that are separated to God. And that can only come in each one of our lives as we daily examine our hearts before God, because we're not perfect here on this earth. But one day when we die or the Lord comes back, we're going to be perfect in heaven. No more sinning, no more crying, no more death, no more pain, no more sickness. We will have perfect bodies, perfect minds like His mind. We shall be known even as He is known. But then at the same time, listen to me, in hell, people will be tormented day and night and then cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever with the Antichrist, with a false prophet, with every demon and every human being that has lived from the foundation of the world until the end will be there forever and ever, separated in the darkness, in the fire with God forever and ever. That's what he says. People have to make a choice. Father, we come before you this evening to thank you so much for your love and for your grace and for your goodness. And Lord God, I pray that you would speak loud and clear to us, Lord God. And Father, as we continue to finish this great epistle of 2 Thessalonians, Father, We pray, Lord, that you just bless it. And as we jump over to the book of Nehemiah, as we're plowing through the whole Bible, Lord God, that you would bless it. And Father, tonight as we're here in your presence, and you're here, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, those that are watching us through the internet, Father, and those that are sitting here in the sanctuary, that if you're here tonight, or you're watching tonight through the internet, and if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're backslidden and you've gone back into your old nature, into your old sins, you better return. You better repent. As long as the Holy Spirit is here and He's knocking on your door and He's convicting you, man, listen, return. Don't wait until it's too late. And those that are here in the sanctuary, if the Holy Spirit tonight has spoken to you, you want to receive the Lord for the first time, you want to return to the Lord, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to ask you to walk out onto the aisles and to come up here to the front, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to worship. And those that are watching through the internet, we'll pray in a moment for everybody here. You just get up and you come as the Holy. Don't come up unless the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Unless you're serious and you really want to change your hearts. Those of you that have come, I want you guys to pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me and ask Jesus Christ just to come into your hearts and secure you, cleanse you, wash you, and give you eternal life tonight. Okay? Pray with me out loud this prayer. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, wash me by your blood. And I receive you by faith as my Lord, my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.